Indy's Local Flavor is brought to you by Anchor Podcasts. If you haven't heard about Anchor Podcasts, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and the greatest thing about it is totally free. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your smartphone or your laptop. Anchor does all the legwork for you, so your podcast can be heard in your favorite places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a whole lot more. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership required. It's everything you need to make your cool podcast all in one place. So go and download the Anchor app on your laptop or smartphone, or you can always go over to anchor.fm to go get started. I'm your host, Joe Voigt, and thanks for listening. And this is a strange St. Patrick's Day. All the sports have been frozen. So I want to talk about the current sporting news that's going on right now. I decided to shift gears. And since all the sports are frozen, I decided to shift gears from music and talk about sports. The latest sports news. A bunch of football news today. Tom Brady's leaving the New England Patriots, and he hasn't said where he's going to land. So that was surprising. He's going to be 43, so nobody knows where he's going to land yet. I would imagine that information would come out tomorrow. The other big news, the rumor's true, ladies and gentlemen. Phillip Rivers is going to be the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. For a year, they gave him $25 million, one-year deal, which I'm going to be honest. I'm an honest guy. I'm pretty direct. I'm a Raiders fan, so when I heard that Phillip Rivers was coming to Indianapolis, I wasn't overjoyed, so I had to talk myself down with my buddy Craig, and he said, Joe, this is just an upgrade at quarterback, so they can scout quarterbacks for the future, and I'm like, okay, well, I can live with that, so... The Colts have a lot of needs. They really need a second wide receiver to complement T.Y. Hilton. So I'm not a Phillip Rivers guy. I'm never going to be a Phillip Rivers guy. He's great off the field. Don't get me wrong. He's a family guy, so I applaud him for that. I've had him in fantasy football. He always did well for me in that. But the thing I don't like about him when he was with the San Diego and Los Angeles Chargers is he always talked trash. And he always seemed to come into Indianapolis and beat the Colts every time he was here. So I don't have a whole heck of a lot of love lost for this guy. But if he can help the Colts improve and have a better team, I can live with that. So there you have it. The Raiders pick up Marcus Mariota from the Titans, which he's going to push Dennis Carr for the starting job. The Raiders also got Jason Witten. Jimmy Graham went to the Bears. A lot of movement in the NFL, but the main story was Tom Brady is leaving the New England Patriots. And the question is who's going to take over? So my guess is if Tom Brady goes somewhere, and I don't know what that destination is. My guess is New England doesn't want to see him again. So I'm guessing he's going to the NFC. So that should be interesting. I wanted to do something different. And I originally recorded this on Sunday, but I made a major error. So I had to go in and re-record it. Because I made a major error on Anderson High School basketball, which I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about Madison County. It's not just going to be the original Anderson Indians. But I made a major error, so I had to pull it off of Facebook where I posted it, and I had to re-record it, and I'm glad I did because all the football news that came out today. Sports have been frozen because of the coronavirus. And with the current national emergency situation It reminded me of the great Spike Lee movie, Do the Right Thing, where Samuel L. Jackson is the DJ in the movie, and he tries to calm down the riot in Brooklyn. And I happen to have the quote here from the movie. His character is Mr. Senior Love Daddy. Quote, "Yes, children, this is the cool-out corner. We're slowing it down for all the lovers in the house. I'll be giving you all the help you need, musically, that is." And he continues, my people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe what I saw. Are we going to live together? Together, are we going to live?" So, I don't usually do the political thing, so I'm going to comment a little bit about the coronavirus a little bit on the show. It's common sense. It's the flu. Wash your hands with hot water. Don't buy all the hand sanitizer. Leave that for the people who need it, like the elderly. Don't buy all the toilet paper. Leave it for the people like the elderly and the poor. So, don't hoard. You guys went to kindergarten, learned to share. So we're going to get through this. It's going to be 30 days. For those of you that went through the blizzard of 78, you survived and you didn't panic. That's because our parents shared and we didn't hoard and we used common sense. So that's how we're going to get through this. And don't hit the panic button, okay? The people in the Depression, which everybody forgets about, had much harder times than we did. My grandfather, during the Depression, got an orange in his Christmas stocking for Christmas, and that was it. So that's my soapbox today, and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program about sports history. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to go pretend like I was Mr. Peabody with this pet boy Sherman and go back in the Wayback Machine. The title of this episode is The Golden Era of Hoosier Hysteria in Madison County from 1975 to 1996 when class basketball started in 97. That changed the entire era of basketball in Indiana. So I want you to close your eyes. The wigwam is closed. It's been closed for several years for many reasons. And it cost $250,000 to keep the heat and lights on. And I was doing my research for this show like I always do, and Wikipedia is not bulletproof. It's not. It doesn't have all the answers, believe it or not. That's why students can't use it as a source, because they said the Anderson High School wigwam was the biggest in all time, and that's incorrect. Newcastle has the biggest gym in the entire world. I think it beats Anderson out by like maybe 500 seats or so. But the people of Newcastle, they still have their gym. I believe it's called Chrysler Arena. And how they kept that alive, which Anderson missed the boat on, and I've only been there once. I saw a girls' travel basketball game there once. How they kept that gym alive is they had all the car dealerships sponsor the gym. So that's how they generated the money instead of city tax dollars, which Anderson tried to do, which was unsuccessful. So that's how Newcastle kept their gym. So close your eyes. Let's go back in time to the Anderson Wigwam, and I'm going to describe it in my best ability for you tonight. On the right side, on the east wall, on the right side of the stage is the three championship basketball banners, and they're very historical because it's been a really long time since the city of Anderson has won the state finals in basketball, and those are three big banners, 1935, 1937, and 1946. The 46 team had Jumping Johnny Wilson, and he went on to play with Anderson College and was successful there. Now, to the left side of the east wall was all the other titles for all the other sports for boys and girls, like boys track, boys cross country, girls basketball, and so on. So, above the band, area, there were 12 banners. And again, a lot of this information from the 70s and 80s, unfortunately, is not on Google. So most of it is, but I had to think of some of this from memory. And the original North Central Conference before class basketball goes like this. The 12 banners are Logansport Berries, Muncie Central Bearcats, Newcastle Trojans, Blackford Bears, North Central Panthers, the Marion Giants, Lafayette Jeff Broncos, the Richmond Red Devils, the Frankfort Hot Dogs, the Huntington North Vikings, and the Lebanon Tigers. Now, I'm trying to remember these games, and I remember some of these games vividly, but there are several of these teams that I don't remember ever playing in the Wigwam. And if I'm mistaken, please leave a message on my podcast and say, "Hey, Joe, I saw these teams at the Wigwam." And I'll go through my list here really quick. I don't remember seeing Logansport at the Wigwam. I don't remember seeing Blackford there. I think these were all away games. I don't remember seeing Lafayette Jeff there, Frankfort, Huntington North, or Lebanon. But I remember Muncie Central, Newcastle, Marion, Kokomo, Richmond. I remember all those teams playing at the Wigwam. And I also wanted to make special mention, the East Chicago team would drive 3 hours to play the Anderson Indians, and they would split the gate of the admissions of the ticket sales. And Anderson never played in East Chicago. They always came to the Wigwam because the Wigwam was 8,000 people every Friday night. And then during sectional, the band didn't play, so they pulled out the bleachers for the sectional. So I started following Anderson High basketball, and that was the first sport I followed. And the first team I really remember was the 1979 Anderson High basketball team that went to the final game at Market Square. That was Pat Skaggs and Brett Campbell. All these teams were coached by Norm Held, who was a good coach, and they lost to Muncie Central with Ray McCallum, who went on to play at Ball State. He didn't make the professional league, the NBA, because he was too short, but he ended up coaching Ball State later. The 81 team, Anderson High, again went to the state final game. That was Sean Teague and Henry Johnson. They ended up losing to Vincennes, and they, in my opinion, pretty much beat themselves. They were really favored to beat Vincennes, and Anderson High beat themselves that game. The best game I ever saw live at the Wigwam, and I was talking with my buddy Donnie about this, so you're going to have to close your eyes again. I was sitting in the northeast corner near the top of the gym in XX, probably in the middle of XX, up by the ceiling fans, and it was always hot in that gym because it was always packed. There was a section XX in the northeast side, and there was YY in the southeast side, and we always sat on the northeast side, my dad and my brother, and we would walk, we would park away from the wigwam and walk, and we were across the railroad tracks on the south side of the school and walk over by the old Bertie Owens ice cream shop, about four blocks away from there. And we would walk, I don't know, 8-10 minutes to get to the gym. And anyway, we're in XX and we're watching the game, and the best game I ever saw live was Newcastle Trojans and Anderson Indians 1982. And Anderson is up by one, 82-81, and they foul the infamous Steve Alford from Newcastle. And he goes to the line with no time on the clock. And he's leading the nation in free throws made. So everybody's saying to themselves, this game's over. He's going to sink both free throws and Anderson's going to lose. So he lines up to shoot the free throw, dribbles twice, releases the shot. Clang! Everybody cheers. They can't believe Steve Alford misses the free throw, and they say, okay, he's going to make the next one. And Donnie told me, which I had forgotten, all the players were behind the half-court line because there was zero time on the clock. And Steve Alford lines it up again. We're going to overtime. Everybody's thinking. Two dribbles. Bang, bang. Lines up to shoot. Shoots the ball. Clang! Steve Alford misses the second free throw. The Anderson Wigwam explodes. Explodes with 8,000 plus, screaming at every possible decibel that you could imagine. And I start crying. And my brother Ben says, what are you crying for? And I said, I'm crying because I'm so happy. That's the best game I ever saw live. And I saw many great games there, but that was number one. The next team for Anderson was the 1983 Anderson High School team. They went to the final game, Market Square. That was the Lewis brothers. Personally, in my opinion, probably their best team that ever went to the finals. That was Scott Lewis, Troy Lewis, Kendrick Lewis, and Andre Morgan. And they ended up losing to the one-hit wonder, Connersville. And Anderson was seriously favored to win that game, and somehow they ended up losing. My freshman year in high school, I was in the band, so I got first shot at tickets as a student. So I saw the 86 sectional, excuse me, sectional, saw the 86 sectional, excuse me, the 86 regional, and then we won the regional and went to semi-state at Mackey. And in the first game, we played Gary Lou Wallace, and that's where we first heard the cheer, crank it up. And it's crank, crank it up, crank, 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 crank it up. Whoo, whoo, whoo. That's how it goes. And we straight up stole that cheer from them. I'll make no bones about it. The Anderson Indians stole that cheer from them. But when they did it, that was on another level. So I have to give them total credit. I'm not really sure who we played in the evening game. I want to say it's Lafayette Jeff, but we beat them to advance to Market Square. And I don't remember who we beat in the morning game. But Anderson High School faced in the final game a buzzsaw, and they met the Marion Giants, coached by Bill Green, with Lyndon Jones, who went to IU, played the point, Jay Edwards, who went to IU, was shooting guard for Bobby Knight, and James Blackman, who went to the villainous Kentucky at the time. And on the Anderson High team was Anthony Kelly, Tim Westerfield, and Eric Hathcock. The Indians just ran into a buzzsaw. The Marion Giants were Purple Rain. They were called themselves Purple Rain at that time for the Prince reference. And no offense, the Indians got outplayed and out-coached, and it wasn't even a game after halftime. But it's always an honor to go to the finals, especially at that time. My personal opinion of the best coach in Madison County, and we had a great bunch of coaches in Madison County. I don't want to take anything away from Bob Fuller. I don't want to take anything away from Alan Darner. I don't want to take anything away from Garth Cohn. But in my opinion, when you look at the resume of who came out of this high school, it's the late, great Phil Buck. He coached Bobby Wilkerson, who went to Indiana University, played on the 1976 perfect season team with Bobby Knight, who ended up playing for Seattle, Denver, Chicago, and Cleveland. And he's in the Indiana High School Hall of Fame. He entered that in 2012. Next up, Ray Tolbert with Anderson-Madison Heights would go on to an NCAA title with Indiana with Isaiah Thomas in 1981, played with Seattle, the Pistons, the Nets, the Knicks, the Lakers, and the Hawks, have also played in Europe, and per Wikipedia, is an assistant at Fishers High School for the basketball team there. Stu Robinson, and by the way, all the players I've talked about this evening with Hoosier Hysteria, they're basketball royalty, especially Bobby Wilkerson. Especially Bobby Wilkerson and Troy Lewis. Stu Robinson, two-time assist leader with IU 1982 to 1986, coached with Bobby Knight at Texas Tech from 2003 to 2011, was a recruiter with the University of Illinois at Chicago in the Horizon League, and now is currently the head coach of Youngstown State in Ohio. I was surprised there wasn't much about Winston Morgan. He could really play. He also went to Anderson-Madison Heights. He went to Indiana University with Bobby Knight from 1981 through 1986. And this is personal. My brother was the starting point guard for the Madison Heights Pirates as a sophomore and for 1 year for Phil Buck before he retired. And everybody loved Phil Buck. There was also Anderson Highland. I graduated from the original Anderson High. My brother graduated from Madison Heights. My sister graduated from Highland. And Highland, for whatever reason, was the heated rivalry. They had a coach by the name of Bob Fuller who died at halftime. And that was of a basketball game. And that was tragic. Star players that came out of there was Gary Delf. Danny Zachary was Indiana State All-Star. Randy Zachary grew up with my brother and played AAU basketball in the 12 and under league and currently has the Zachary Basketball Academy. So look him up on the internet if you want some great training for your children for basketball. He also played the point at Ball State University, and if I remember correctly, I think he got into the Hall of Fame, which is great for him, and we love you, Zach. Link Darner as well, and the late, great Alan Darner coached at Highland, and he also had great success at Indianapolis Pike. There were a lot of great teams in Madison County that I want to spotlight for a minute that came to the Anderson sectional. That was LaPel, Bulldogs, Elwood Panthers, Alexandria Tigers always gave the local Anderson teams all they could handle. The Daleville Broncos, my senior year, it was the Anderson Indians and the Daleville Broncos and my Anderson Indian teams thought we were going to walk all over them. However, Daleville had some more things to think about, and they beat the Anderson Indians in the sectional my senior year. And there was the Frankton Eagles that came And of course, I can't forget Pendleton Heights. They always had some competitive teams in the Anderson sectional. So there were so many great rivalries, so many great games at the Anderson Wigwam. And that time, and I saw all the games when I was in high school because I was in the band and I played tenor sax. And that was the best time except for winning the state fair twice, because basketball game was the best. My band director, Donald Hoffman, we always played the 50s pop hits. So that was, we always played the school song, which was great, which if you didn't know, is the West Virginia fight song, the University of West Virginia fight song. We always played a Sweet Georgia Brown. We played Rock Around the Clock. We played At the Hop, and then we played Jailhouse Rock by Elvis. So, and then, we played the Indian Dance. And if you didn't know about the Indian Dance, that's been around since forever. But the coolest version of the Indian Dance was in the 1950s, believe it or not. The Indian Maiden at center court, when she would be on her hands and knees bending over, the Indian would be doing backflips from diagonally from one end of the court to the other over the Indian Maiden. So yeah, that was just, there were pictures of that, but there aren't. So I'm really glad I was able to do this. I wanted a distraction from all the stuff that's going on right now in the news, and I really hoped that you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to be doing some more historical stuff for this podcast, so I hope you enjoyed it. Come back and see me next week, and I'm going to be putting a song together on playlist of positive music to help you get through this time right now. And I hope you enjoyed this broadcast. My name's Joe Voigt for Indy's Local Flavor, and I'll see you next time.